Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is Psalm 72. God, give your own justice to the king, your own righteousness to the royal son, so that he may rule your people rightly and your poor with justice. Let the mountains and hills bring a message of peace for the people. Uprightly he will defend the poorest. He will save the children of those in need and crush their oppressors. Like sun and moon, he will endure age after age. Welcome as rain that falls on the pasture and showers to thirsty soil. In his days, virtue will flourish, a universal peace till the moon is no more. His empire shall stretch from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. The beast will cower before him, and his enemies grovel in the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the islands will pay him tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. All kings will do him homage. All nations become his servants. He will free the poor man who calls to him and those who need help. He will have pity on the poor and feeble and save the lives of those in need. He will redeem their lives from exploitation and outrage. Their lives will be precious in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. Prayer will be offered for him constantly. Blessings invoked on him all day long. Grain everywhere in the country, even on the mountaintops. Abundant as Lebanon its harvest, luxuriant as common grass. Blessed be his name forever, enduring as long as the sun. May every race in the world be blessed in him, and all the nations call him blessed. The Lord our Savior, begotten before the morning star and before all ages, appeared in the world today. Thus the ancient church, in Latin of course, intoned the antiphon of the psalm for the first vespers of the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord. And a majestic festival it was to be indeed. In the latter part of the fourth century, we know that Valens thought that he could vanquish this reputed king of Israel, and he came to disrupt the Epiphany services being conducted by St. Basil, at least as reported by St. Gregory of Nazianzus. And so overwhelmed was he by the majesty and the beauty of that service that he was vanquished, rather than Jesus of Nazareth. And we can skip to the golden age of Lutheran theology and music and remember that this day was important enough to call forth its own cantata, number 65, Sie werden alle aus Dava kommen. And you can have a mental picture of the camel train lumbering along to the lilting music of Johann Sebastian. And today the church celebrates the Epiphany of our Lord. Well, maybe celebrate is the wrong word, even among seminarians and at a seminary. For after all, we are totally exhausted by all the stuff we've been through. After all, we had two weekends of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in church, not to mention Advent services, Christmas services, office parties, home parties, neighborhood parties, get-togethers here and get-togethers there, and you don't really expect, after all those parades, and after all those football games, that surely must be some kind of a fulfillment of the prophecy that our Lord gave to Abraham about stars and sand. After all that, you really don't think we should celebrate on a Thursday. Well, that's part of the tragedy of the modern church. And it's part of our tragedy, too. Because in reality, this is our Christmas. For today, we remember that a Jewish person born in David's town, the son of a Jewish maiden from Nazareth in Galilee, whose birth was first announced to shepherds in the Judean hillside, who was circumcised in accord with the covenant God had made with Abraham, and who was presented in the temple in accord with the law given through Moses, and who was heralded by pious Israelites such as Simeon and Anna, is also ours too. That the glory of God's people Israel is also the light to lighten the Gentiles, of whom we are all. This is our day to celebrate God's gift of his Son. There's a little children's hymn on the church here that goes like this. Advent tells us Christ is near. Christmas tells us Christ is here. But in Epiphany we trace all the glories of his grace. And it is to trace the glories of his grace that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, that we celebrate the Epiphany. For the one who comes is the King promised of old. We have in the psalm an echo also of Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to rule it with righteousness and justice from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so this is the psalm which depicts for us what the zeal of the Lord of hosts has done for us. God, give your own justice to the king, your own righteousness to the royal son, so that he may rule your people rightly and your poor with justice. God has promised to send his son, the king, and to equip him with a strange set of kingly qualities, not might and not power, although he has all that. His kingdom is not of this world, but he comes to usher in a kingdom of righteousness. Of righteousness in God's sight. Now I suppose if you plow through the Old Testament with a bulldozer, you can turn this psalm into a little paradigm about some kind of social action, and it could be the theme for Children and Family Day. But what a horrible mess that would make of a grand promise of deliverance.